Well, good morning, Ipsy Free, family and friends, and well, all who are viewing this live Facebook broadcast. We are delighted, on behalf of our lead pastor, Reverend Steve Glide, and our praise team, we are delighted that you have chosen to be with us in worship service. You do know that as God is here with us in the sanctuary, he's right there with you in your living room, bedroom, perhaps kitchen, basement. Some of you may even be at work looking at us. We're all joined together in worship to the glory of God on this Palm Sunday. But before I get into the heart of my message today, I would like to say something to the family of God concerning this coronavirus pandemic. Yeah, I know we've heard a lot already, but one of the most important lessons this pandemic, epidemics, plagues, and the like can teach us is this: what has been will be again. What has been done will be done again. There is nothing new under the sun. That's found in Ecclesiastes 1:9. So with that said, this can be the church's finest hour, which means we need to be people of faith. We can't let fear rule our hearts, govern our prayers, and dictate what we think God can do. We must get to the place where we only believe. The world needs Jesus, that's for sure, and you know him. The fact of the matter is that one can get sick from anything and anyone and anywhere. Beloved, draw near to God. Seek his wisdom and guidance. Stay in prayer. Make decisions from a place of peace. Philippians 4, 6, and 7 tells us, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known. And the peace, that's right, the peace of God shall guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Regardless of coronavirus, I implore you to move forward in your life in faith. Well, if you have your Bibles, if you would, turn to Mark chapter 11 as you get your second cup of coffee. Mark chapter 11, and we'll look at verses 1 through 11. Mark chapter 11, verses 1 through 11. And it reads as follows. As they approached Jerusalem at Bethpage and Bethany near the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples and said to them, go into the village opposite you, and immediately as you enter, you will find a coat tied there, on which no one yet has ever sat. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone says to you, why are you doing this? You say, the Lord has need of it. And immediately he will send it back here. They went away and found a coat tied at the door outside in the street, and they untied it. Some of the bystanders were saying to them, what are you doing? Untying the coat. They spoke to them just as Jesus had told them, and they gave them permission. They brought the coat to Jesus and put their coats on it, and he sat on it. And many spread their coats in the road, and others spread leafy branches which they had cut from the fields. Those who went in front and those who followed were shouting, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our father David. Hosanna in the highest." Jesus entered Jerusalem and came into the temple. And after looking around at everything, he left for Bethany with the 12, since it was already late. Would you join me in prayer? Father, we find ourselves in a strange season and really a strange land. And yet you remain the same from the days of old. Father, on this Palm Sunday, rejuvenate us as a people of God. Encourage our hearts. Challenge us to a new level of commitment with you. And Father, we'll be careful to give your name the praise, the glory, and the honor. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Well, I need not tell anyone under the sound of my voice that these last few weeks have been challenging, to say the least. Challenging for parents with children out of school. Challenging for purchases of necessities that once were in abundance at big box stores. Challenging for social gatherings with restrictions on numbers that can meet under one roof. Challenging just to have a one-on-one conversation with someone, giving the social distance we've been asked to abide by. And on top of all that, the governor enacts a stay-home ban. Yes, this has become our new norm here in Michigan, and yes, in fact, the U.S. But let me suggest to the family of God, in the midst of this crisis, this can be our finest hour if we listen for the voice of God and follow his instructions. What is God saying to us on this Palm Sunday as we recall and celebrate the triumphant entry of Jesus into Jerusalem? In the midst of this coronavirus, I hope we can say with the crowd, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our father, David. Hosanna in the highest." Did you know that the word Hosanna means in the Christian vernacular praise and adoration and joy? And if ever the body of Christ needed to praise God with joy and adoration for our Lord Jesus Christ, it's in this season. This reminds me of what the Apostle Paul said to the Corinthian church in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 2. For he says, "In the time of my favor, I heard you. In the day of salvation, I helped you. I tell you, now is the time of God's favor. Now is the day of salvation." So one must ask the question, why the urgency for salvation? I believe this pandemic speaks to that. Folks, the uncertainty of life itself. We're here today, as the old adage goes, and gone tomorrow. And with that said, we don't know when our Savior, Jesus Christ, will return to receive his church. But one thing's for sure, his return is near. Matthew 24:36 states, "But about that day or hour, no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father." What day? The coming of the Son of Man, Jesus Christ, as he goes on to say in verse 37, "As it was in the days of Noah, so it will be at the coming of the Son of Man." Folks, Jesus is coming back for his church, those who have trusted their lives to Jesus Christ. So we must view life in light of the return of Jesus Christ, not in the light of this COVID-19 virus. With our proverbial eyes, we must see Jesus Christ riding on a colt into Jerusalem to the celebration of the crowd. But I ask you again, what does his triumphant entry mean for us today as we face many challenges to this nation's spiritual and physical health? I'm here to tell you that if it means anything at all, it means victory. And this victory is reflected in three areas for your consideration this morning. First of all, victory of love over hatred. Victory of love over hatred. Jesus rode into Jerusalem on a colt to the applause of a world that would eventually spew out venom of hatred towards him. And much like Jesus' day, we live in a world that's full of hatred and division. Hatred for those who don't agree with them. Hatred for those who, well, don't look like them. Hatred for those who have opposite political views. And really, the list goes on and on. In fact, the world's hatred is a sign of the coming of Jesus Christ and the end of the ages, according to Matthew 24:12, which states, "And because iniquity abound, the love of many shall wax cold." Here's what the Bible says about hatred in Jeremiah 17, verse 9. "The heart of man is sinful and desperately wicked. Who can know it?" Yes, hatred is a natural outcome of our sinful natures. But Jesus came to bring a new norm. Praise God. You see, Satan's agenda is clear, which is to promote hatred. But Jesus rode into Jerusalem on that colt to promote a new norm of love over hate. You see, Jesus' triumphant entry enables us to, well, as we so often say here at Ipsy, love God, love all people, and follow Christ together. Because we know that God is love. And he proved that love through his son, Jesus Christ. And we know that Jesus displayed that love throughout his earthly journey. In fact, in the Sermon on the Mount, he taught us to love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you in Matthew 5:44. Folks, there's something about love that's powerful. So powerful that Proverbs 15:17 says, "Better is a small serving of vegetables with love than a fattened calf with hatred." Yes, love defeats hate every time. So Jesus' triumphant entry translates into victory of love over hate. But secondly, Jesus' triumphant entry brings victory of truth over error. Truth over error. You see, Jesus rode into Jerusalem fully aware that the people were ignorant of who he was, the truth. And let's face it, folks, we live in a world where truth has become relative. What was true 50 years ago is viewed as error today. So truth becomes what we make it. And that's dangerous, folks. Yes, I think we can all agree that there's a lot of error in our world today, and many have been led astray as a result of this fake news. But Jesus Christ's triumphant entry exposed the lies of the enemy. So ultimately, who's behind the falsehood? Well, Satan himself. You see, from the beginning of humanity, we see the battle of truth versus error. For instance, in the Garden of Eden, the serpent Satan took what God said to Adam and distorted it in Genesis 3:4-5. "You will not certainly die," the serpent said to the woman, "for God knows that when you eat from it, your eyes will be open, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." In fact, this is what Jesus says about Satan in John chapter 8, verse 44. He was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth, for there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and the father of lies. So one way we can embrace truth this morning and expose the lies and errors of the enemy is to study the Bible for ourselves and obey it. Yes, that's what Paul the Apostle told the young Timothy in 2 Timothy 2:15. Study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Can I go a little deeper here? One of the biggest errors of the world that the world believes is that there are many ways to God. Their conclusion then is this: why read your Bible? Why pray? Why even attend church? But here's what Jesus said: I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me, in John 14, 6. So no, there is not many ways to get to God. Error. Another error the enemy would have us believe is that our good works will make up for any shortcomings we have and open the doors to heaven for us. But Isaiah 64, 6 tells us, all of us have become like one who is unclean, and all our righteous acts are like filthy rags in God's eyesight. So your good works are not enough to save you. Error. One of the most effective means the enemy uses is to take truth and twist it into a lie. And so as to avoid truth, we've come up with a term in this day and age which we call political correctness. Can I tell you, there's no such thing as a half-truth. It's either true or a lie. Folks, truth needs no props. Truth stands alone. And yes, truth offends those who reject it, because truth is a person, Jesus Christ. In John 15, 18, Jesus said, if the world hates you, keep in mind that it hated me first. Here's what Oswald Chambers, the author of My Utmost for His Highest, says about the word truth. And I quote, truth is not a system, not a constitution, not even a creed. The truth is the Lord Jesus Christ himself. And he is the truth about the Father, just as he's the way of the Father. Our tendency is to make truth a logical statement, to make it a principle instead of a person. End of quote. Jesus Christ is truth, not Jesus Christ plus something. That's when the error comes in. It must be Jesus Christ alone, period. He is the embodiment of truth. So Jesus Christ's triumphant entry brought victory of truth over error. But finally, Jesus' triumphant entry brings victory of life over death, praise God. As Jesus rode on that coat into Jerusalem, death lost its power over humanity. Because Jesus Christ's triumphant entry, which led to his death and resurrection, gives everyone the assurance of life over death, if they believe. Folks, let's face it, we're all looking for that fountain of youth. But time has a way of disappointing us all. We do everything to stay healthy and live a long life, yet death is the end result. Well, the scripture reminds us, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord, Romans 6:23. So when we embrace Jesus Christ, whose triumphant entry into Jerusalem led to his death and resurrection, we experience life and life more abundantly. In fact, in John 11, verse 25, Jesus said to her, the scripture says, her being Martha, the sister of Mary and the sister of Lazarus, who Jesus rose from the grave, said, "I am the resurrection and the life," Jesus said. "The one who believes in me will live even though he dies." 1 Corinthians 15:55-57 says, "O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." Folks, death is the last enemy, and we have victory over it. Hallelujah. The hymn writer put it this way: "Death cannot keep his prey. Jesus, my Savior, he tore the bars away. Jesus, my Lord, up from the grave he arose with a mighty triumph over his foe. He arose a victor from the dark domain, and he lives forever with his saints to reign. He arose, hallelujah, Christ arose." I don't know about you, but I look forward to that day when I'll see my Savior face to face and enjoy his presence throughout eternity. That's called eternal life. So Jesus' triumphant entry brings victory of life over death. So in conclusion, although we live in perilous times, we of all people, the body of Christ, should display that peace that passes all understanding amidst chaos. And it starts with the importance of today, the triumphant entry of Jesus into Jerusalem. His obedience to the Father leads us to victory. Victory of love over hatred. Victory of truth over error. Victory of life over death. Well, let me conclude this message with my own personal salvation story. It was over 50 years ago now. In Chicago, Illinois, during the summer, that a young man, yes, yours truly here, had an encounter with the Lord at a vacation Bible school at a little small church in Chicago. That dear saint, I'm looking forward to seeing her, in fact, when I get to glory, shared with us young people the love of God, that God the Creator, who created everything, including us, desired to be in relationship with us. And we broke that desire for him by sinning. And as a result, God could have walked away from us as his creation, but he didn't. That dear saint of God, who was our vacation Bible school teacher, said, "God loved you so much, and in fact, he loved you to the extent that he wanted to restore that relationship that was broken by us. And so he sent his son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for our sins. For God so loved the world, you know the rest, that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life." Now, as a young kid, I didn't understand all of that. I did understand that the aspect of love, that someone loved me, and that drew me towards them. And so as a young kid, I said, well, if this God in heaven wants to restore the relationship I broke by my disobedience, then I want to I want that restoration. I want to be with him. And he tells me, simply, it's through his son, Jesus Christ, who died on the cross for my sins. There was a sacrifice, folks, that needed to be paid. Consequences for our evil. And so right there in that church basement, I gave my life to the Lord Jesus. And can I tell you, I've never been the same since. He makes that difference. But I've been talking all this time. How about you? If you were to die tonight, what would be your eternal destination? Oh, I trust it will be heaven. But if not, what a great day to resolve that issue by giving your life over to the Lord Jesus Christ. Like me, acknowledging my sins and accepting his gift. And if you want to do that right there in your kitchen, bedroom, living room, dining room, basement, wherever you may be right now looking at this broadcast, I want to lead you in a word of prayer. And it's very simple. Just say after me, Heavenly Father, thank you for your mercy, your grace, and your love found in and through Jesus Christ. Save me and forgive me from my sins. I give you my life and choose to follow, love, and live for you. In Jesus' name, amen. Let me just pray over you, those of you who made that choice just a few moments ago by praying that prayer. Father, Lord, solidify in their hearts now that prayer that they just prayed. Father, they won't know all the details, but Father, we pray that they would grow in their faith as they continue to have encounters with you. You love them, and we thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, if you prayed that prayer, let someone know. There's no such thing as CIA Christians, okay? God loves you. He wants you to serve him as you give your life over to him. Throw a comment at us on Facebook if you like. We want to journey with you here at Ipsy Free. Those of you who have given your life over to the Lord. We love you. God bless you. Thank you for being with us in this worship service.